Okay. Over the last few months, we've been looking at the subject of wisdom, and in particular, the role of humility in wisdom. And we're just going to go to two verses tonight, which we looked at very early on in our studies. And in these two verses, we're going to see again tonight, and we saw when we looked at them a few months ago, that God exalts the humble. God lifts up the humble. He raises the humble. So turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, come to 1 Peter chapter 5. The first book of Peter, or the first letter of Peter, chapter 5. It's the last chapter of the first letter. And we're going to read verses 5 and 6. Now, as always, I've got quite a few scriptures tonight to go to and look at, and I don't make any apologies for that, because it's good to study and good to see what the scripture says. I know some people apologize because they have a lot of scriptures, but that's how we study, that's how we learn. And so I might ask a couple of you to read some of the scriptures. But here we have 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, and it says this. It says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Then verse 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's one of the first scriptures we turned up when we were beginning this study. And the second one, which is very similar to this, is found in the book of James. And James is the book before. So just turn back a few pages. We're going to go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 10. Just a short verse, but it says exactly the same as we've just read in Peter. In verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." So both Peter and James are saying the same thing, that if we humble ourselves, God will lift us up, God will exalt us. Now, this isn't an isolated theme in the Bible. It's not just something we read in these few verses. Actually, we see this whole theme right through the scriptures. And we saw in a previous study that Jesus mentioned it. He talked about being raised up if we humble ourselves. And the Old Testament writers spoke about it. So let's first read what Jesus had to say. So in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Luke, chapter 14. And we're going to read verse 11. This comes at the end of some teaching that Jesus did about a man who was invited to a feast. And the man sat at the head of the table. And when the ceremony was about to begin, a very important guest arrived, and the one who was hosting the feast asked this man to move to a lower seat. And Jesus began to say that if you want to be exalted, why, he says, sit at the lower seats so that you're asked to come up higher. So actually what Jesus says is this, in Luke's In Luke 14, verse 11. Do you have it, Jez? Yeah. Do you have to read it then?
Which one was?
Just the one verse, verse 11.
Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish?
No, that's not 14. Luke 14? 14 verse 11, that's it. He's in the wrong chapter, that's not a problem. Luke 14 verse 11.
For everyone who assaults him will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
There we are. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled.
Amen.
And he who humbles himself will be exalted. There's that same theme. If we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. Now, it wasn't just Jesus. The Old Testament writers gave the same topic, the same theme. So if somebody wants to turn up the Psalms, Psalm 147. Psalm 147. That's almost at the end of the Psalms. There are 150 psalms, and we want 147. Verse 6. 147 verse 6. Do you have it, Doris?
Yes. The Lord lifted up the meek. He casted the wicked down to the ground.
Okay. The Lord lifts up, in my translation, the New King James, it says the humble.
New King James, I have.
The Lord lifts up the humble.
Verse, meek.
The meek is... We're going to come on to that. It actually, it's the same word. It's the same word. The Lord lifts up the humble, and he casts the wicked down to the ground. So there we see. That's just one verse in the whole of the Old Testament. And there are others which talk about God exalting those that humble themselves. Now what we're going to do tonight is, God willing, we're going to just finish this teaching on the subject of humility. And to wrap it up, to finish it all off, what we're going to look at is the connection between humility and wisdom. Because we've been teaching on wisdom, we've been teaching on being humble, but there is a connection between being humble and wisdom, and that's what we're going to study this evening. Now, just to give you a brief summary of what we have covered. We've seen already in previous weeks how some of the characters of the Bible, whether they're New Testament characters or Old Testament characters, how the scripture tells us that they humbled themselves and God raised them up. We started by looking at John the Baptist, if you remember, quite a few months ago. And John the Baptist humbled himself. He had to humble himself and baptize Jesus. For the sake of time tonight, we're not going to go back and look at the passages in the scriptures. But if you get the notes, all the notes are online. You get the notes, you can go and look yourself. But John the Baptist had to humble himself and baptize Jesus. When Jesus came to him and asked him, John, I want you to baptize me. You know, do you remember John the Baptist says, no, Lord, you should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. But Jesus taught him a lesson, and he had to humble himself. He had to do this thing. And because he did that, later on in his life, we find Jesus is describing him as the greatest prophet that ever lived. There wasn't any greater, he said, of the prophets. But then we know that Jesus went on to say that the one who's the least in the kingdom is greater than John. So God will, if we're the least in the kingdom, God will raise us up. Now, John learned that secret of humility, and Jesus raised him up. The two disciples, James and John, they had to learn the secret of humility too. Not too long before Jesus was crucified, where James and John came to him and they asked a request of him. They came and said, "Lord, we want to sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand when you come into your kingdom." Now what they were looking for, they were seeking status and position. And Jesus had to teach them and the other disciples, look, he says, if you want to be first, if you want to be great, you've got to be the servant of all. You've got to be the lowest. Because when you humble yourself, then God will raise you up. And they had to learn that lesson in humility. Then we looked at a few Old Testament characters. We looked at Enoch, if you remember. Now, Enoch was such a humble man that God just took him home one day. He translated him, or we might say he raptured him. And the scripture says that he could no longer be found on the earth. Why? Because God took him. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us something interesting about Enoch. This is in chapter 11, the great faith chapter. It tells us that he had this, that God took him because he had a testimony. He had the testimony that he was pleasing to God. God was pleased with him. And because of that, he took him. You know, this humble man who pleased God received, you could say, the highest of all exaltations. God just lifted him straight from the earth into glory. Took him straight into heaven. Then we looked at Noah, another just and humble man. Another man who was humble before God. And God touched his heart to prepare an ark so that he could save not only, now it was only his household, his family that were saved during the flood, but this was prepared for anybody who was prepared to get on board the ark. Now the scripture tells us back in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Noah found grace in his sight. And what did God do? God exalted him. God lifted him above the waters of the great flood. He saved him and spared his family from that judgment that was coming upon the earth. Then more recently, we've been looking at the life of David. And we see that David too was a man that humbled himself. We spent a couple of weeks looking at that. He didn't try and exalt himself, try and get his position on the throne, even though he had been anointed for that position. And in the fullness of time, it wasn't overnight. That wasn't a quick process. But in the fullness of time, God raised him up and put him on the throne. And then we saw that even after he sinned, we see how he had to humble himself. And he went before the Lord in repentance. Now this was a great sin. We looked at it last week. Where he, if you remember, he committed adultery. He committed murder. Then he just threw himself on God and said, prayed that prayer of repentance, which we have recorded in Psalm 51. A great prayer of repentance. Now there are others that we could have looked at. And maybe you might say we should have looked at them. But there are other times we can go into them on other occasions. But there are people like Joseph, a man who humbled himself. Moses, one of the scripture calls him one of the meekest men on earth. Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, Gideon, another man who humbled himself, that mighty man of valor, although at first he didn't appreciate that until he humbled himself under God. We could look at Peter or the other disciples, all these men that had to humble themselves. And we can look at them, we can spend time looking at them, and the ones we did look at. Yes, they were all humble and they all accomplished different things. So my question is, as we're going to go on, what is it that they had in common? of course, it's humility. They were humble. Now, what does it mean, then, to be humble? So let me answer that question. What does it mean to be humble? Humility is not... Let's go with what it isn't first, before I tell you what it is. Humility is not building yourself up, making yourself out to be something so great. That's pride. We didn't see that in the life of David. He was anointed king, but he didn't make himself out to be so great. He still respected that Saul was on the throne. He wouldn't touch Saul. He wouldn't lay his hand on Saul. He wouldn't kill him. Because he respected the word of God, which said that touch not the Lord's anointed. Do his prophets no harm. And he even, it's even penned down in the Psalms, that scripture. So it's not to make yourself something so great. And we have a lot of people in church that are looking for position. And not in our church, thank God, no.
I would say, sorry.
You look at some, I'm not trying to belittle them or say that, okay, but if you look at some of the state churches, like even the Roman Catholic Church, even the Anglican Church, you have career vicars, career priests. People are looking for position. They're looking for trying to earn their way into salvation. And that's not what humility is. I remember a story once about a man who's now with the Lord, and he was in one of the established churches in Scotland, in the UK. And he got to the point... Now, I don't know whether what his heart was, I don't know why he went into the church. But that's not the point. He was in a pastoral role, and the Lord began to speak to him and ask him to leave that particular church and actually to go out traveling on the road, teaching and preaching. And so he, in effect, what he did is he tendered his resignation to the hierarchy in the church. And he said that this is what he's going to do. He feels the Lord is leading him to leave the church or to leave that position and go out on the road as a traveling minister. And so after he tendered his resignation, he received a letter from the office, those that looked after the church. They called him into office and they wanted to interview him and ask him really why he was leaving. And so he began to retell this story, how he felt the Lord was leading through that. And they tried to convince him to stay. They wanted him to stay, and they tried to convince him, but he was adamant, no, this is what God has said, he's leaving his role as pastor, and he's going to go out and travel. And he said they finally got to the point where they accepted what he said. And he was about to leave the office. And as he was walking out the door of the office, the guy that was interviewing, the man that sat behind his table, he just called out to him and he says, brother, he says, there's just one thing I want to ask you before you go. He says, who's going to pay your pension? Who's going to pay your pension? Now, of course, as a career pastor, that was all taken care of. The church would look after him. But as he was leaving the church, leaving his role, they couldn't see beyond their books.
Yeah.
Of course, God was going to take care of him. But these career priests, vicars, whatever, pastors, whatever you want to call them, they're in it for themselves. They're trying to build themselves a kingdom. And that's not what humility is. It's not to build yourself up. It's not to make yourself great. It's not to carve out your own kingdom, your own ministry. But then, humility isn't the opposite of that either. Because a lot of people think it is. It isn't that you then make yourself, or put yourself down. And make yourself so that you feel so, make yourself out to be so unworthy. You're not worthy of anything. And then you start talking. And you hear people like this in church praying as well. Thank God we don't hear it in this church. But you hear people when they pray. Oh Lord, we're so unworthy. You know, they so beat their breasts and make them out. You know, they're almost beyond redemption.
Yes.
That's not humility either. That actually is pride. Because that's what it is. It's trusting in your inability rather than your ability. Trust in what you can't do. Who you think you are not. So that if humility is not to build yourself up, neither is it to make yourself so low. What is humility? Now here is my very simple definition of the word humility. I don't think you'll find this if you look it up in an English dictionary, because this is put together by studying the scriptures and bringing a number of different scriptures together. Humility is this: it's submitting yourself to God and His word. Submitting yourself to God and His word. And there's something else that comes with that as well. Keeping His commandments. You can't submit yourself to His word and then say, I choose not to do what He asked me to do. You can't say, well, God's word for me is this, but I choose not to follow it. That's not humility. So it's submitting yourself to God and His word, and then obeying His commandments. Keeping His commandments. That is humility. Now, you may not like some of the things you read in the scriptures, and there are verses that I don't like. That doesn't mean I don't believe them. I don't honor them. I may not like what the scripture says on occasion, because it cuts at the heart. It's the truth. The truth always hurts. Yeah. That's what they say. Yeah. Yeah. So there may be scriptures we don't like where God tells us to do something. We say, oh no, Lord, don't. You know, you can pray these prayers. You know, I think, you could pray a prayer like Pastor shared this with us before previously. You know, I want to go anywhere you send me, Lord, but not there, but not that place. No, I don't want that country either. Or this, Lord, why don't you send me to Hawaii? You could pray those types of prayers, but God may say, no, I want you to go down to some lost tribe in the Amazon jungle or something. Like there was the great missionary Nate Saint, who went down to the Amazon. Now, you may not like it, you may not like to be cut off, but if that's where God sends you, humility listens to God, submits yourself, and then obeys. Now there are other scriptures that you might not like. People don't like to know about tithing, for example. Well, why should I tithe? Why should I give? But it's what God tells us to do, to give. That tells us to give cheerfully. If we're going to say, oh, I don't really want to give, we might as well keep our money. If we're going to put an offering into the offering basket, well, Lord, I don't really want to give this because I need it to pay my rent. I need. You might as well keep it. And because it's not going to benefit you if you give in that manner.
That's right.
Because you're giving it grudgingly. You're giving it perhaps out of necessity. And God says, don't do that. Just give cheerfully. Give with love. You know, let your giving be a blessing, not just to the people you're giving to.
Right.
So these things we don't like, but when we obey them, or when we receive them and we obey them, we're being humble before God, we're submitting to Him. Now, there's a word in the scriptures, and we've touched on it already tonight, which is one of the most misinterpreted words in the Bible. Sister Doris read from Psalm 147. So let's look at this scripture. Psalm 147, verse 6. Okay. In the King James, for sure, I know this for sure, because I've looked it up. It says this. It says, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Now, this word meek has been misinterpreted by a lot of Christians, because they've translated the word meek. Instead of saying meek, they've said weak. This word does not mean weak. It does not say the Lord lifts up the weak and casts the wicked down to the ground. It says the Lord lifts up the meek and casts the wicked to the ground. Now, meekness does not mean weakness. That's a wrong interpretation of that word. Meekness is a form of humility. It's humble, being submissive. There's another translation of the verse, of the word, which means poor, which I don't like that translation, that where it says the poor.
Can you see one?
Is that in the
I'm very upset.
Yeah, I don't like that translation of the word.
Mine is afflicted.
Uh-huh. Because
I'm very concerned now.
Yeah, there's another way.
The original is wicked. Humble.
The original is to be humble. To be humble. And because, but look what it says. It's let's compare two verses. Keep your finger in Psalm 147. Now go back to the verse we read earlier on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14.
Luke 14 now.
Luke 14. So keep open Psalm 100, because we're going to compare these two verses. Luke 14 verse 11 and Psalm 147 verse 6. Okay, before we read these two verses, perhaps Jez, can you turn to James chapter 4 and verse 10. We've read this already. James 4 verse 10.
James?
We're going to compare these. We're going to compare four scriptures all in one go.
4, 10. Verse
11. 10.
4,
10. James 4 verse 10. Have you got the scriptures on there? Gerald? No. Okay. Okay, somebody else. Turn up 1 Peter chapter 5. We want Psalm 147 verse 6, Luke 14:11, mm-hmm. James 4:10, and 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Because we're going to compare these four scriptures. Now, Psalm 147 verse 6 says this: the Lord lifts up, whether you're using meek or humble, he casts the wicked down to the ground. In Luke's Gospel chapter 14, has somebody got that one? You can read it. Luke 14 verse 11.
For whosoever exalted him himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted.
Okay, so in Psalms we read that the Lord lifts up the humble and the wicked are cast to the ground. Mm-hmm. Jesus said in Luke 14 that whoever exalts himself will be abased, cast down. But he who humbles himself will be exalted, raised up. James.
Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up.
If you humble yourselves before the Lord, he will lift you up. Saying exactly the same thing. If God will lift up if we humble ourselves. And in 1 Peter 5, who's got that one? 1 Peter 5 verse 6.
Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the due time.
Okay. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So, Luke, Peter, and James are saying, humble yourselves, and you'll be exalted. Why then, when we look at the Psalms, do we suddenly translate that word meek and make it weak? It's the same, it's humility, the humble. Now, as we go on, because I said we have a lot of these, this word is translated, misinterpreted wrong, that's to say it's weak. So we're going to look at a few other scriptures, what the Bible actually says about the meek. Now, somebody turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Matthew 5, verse 5. Okay? And before we read that one, can somebody else find Psalm 37, verse 11? We're going to compare these two scriptures. Matthew 5, 5 and Psalm 37, verse 11. Okay, I'll be there. Okay, Jess, Matthew 5.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall
inherit
the earth. Okay, what does the Psalm say? Psalm 37, verse 11. Psalm 37, verse 11. Remember what Jez read? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
He says the humble will possess the land and enjoy prosperity and peace. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace.
Yes, just says the same, just a different way around. All right. It says, the meek shall Inherit. What does it say in Matthew? Matthew, Jess?
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It says in the Psalms, the meek shall inherit the land, the earth. We are seeing the same thing here. One in the Psalms, one in Matthew. It's not the weak that inherit the earth. It is the humble that inherit. Why? Because if you're going to inherit, you're going to be raised up. When you inherit something, you come higher. You get more.
So
meek and humble means the same. Inherit the earth. Why? Because they are actively keeping the command of God. They are submitting to the word of God and keeping it, obeying it. Do you remember what the Lord said to Joshua when he was about to go into the land of Canaan? He said, this book of the law, this is in Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall keep it in front of your eyes. You shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. So it's hearing the word of God, it's submitting yourself to the word of God, it's doing it, being observing to do what is written in it. And he goes, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. There's a condition on the success, the good success, or the prosperity that he was talking about there. It's being submissive to the word of God and doing it. That's what makes us successful in God. Being humble. It's not about, how do we measure success? Well, a lot of people measure success by amount, whether it's money. In churches, a lot of people in churches, they're talking, just because they've got 1,000 people in the church, they say they're successful. No, that doesn't make success. You can have 10,000 in a church and be very unsuccessful. Because if you've got a church that are living in sin and walking in their own ways and doing whatever they want to do, and they're not submissive to God, you've got nothing. If you've got a church of 3 people and every single one of those is fully committed to God, they're submitted themselves to God, they're walking in His way, you have a very successful church. So success isn't numbers, it's in humility.
Quality.
And quality. I'm just looking at the time. Okay. I've got another few scriptures, just another 4 scriptures to go to finish off. Now this will be a challenge for you. Can you find Zephaniah chapter 3? This is towards the end of the Old Testament. One of the minor prophets. This way, Jezebel. If you find Ezekiel, the next one is Daniel. Then it's Hosea. Then Joel. Then Amos, then you've got a little book of Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Then after Zephaniah, if you've gone past it, if you're in Haggai, you've gone too far. Go back. Chapter 3. 12. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse. What I want you to see here is important, that the prophet Zephaniah actually connects meekness and humility. He's connecting the two. Have we got it? Somebody want to read it? Zephaniah 3:12.
I will leave you in your midst, a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord.
What's that
reading? Yeah,
Zephaniah 3:12. What does that say, the child?
I will also leave in the midst of thee, and afflicted the poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord.
Okay, so they're using the translations afflicted and poor.
Because the people there refers, the word people refers to Gentiles. That's why.
So, what I wanted you to see there is the connection between meek and humble. Is it the same in the Maltese?
I'm going to check it down. Because here is a note of mine. It's important that it is referring to the Gentiles. What he said is, he's going to leave the Gentiles among you who are. Is involving the Gentiles.
Okay. But does it use the words meek and humble?
Meek and what is meek, you can refer to them, check it.
Okay. Yes. So here what actually the prophet is doing here is connecting meek with humility. Meekness and humility. The meek and humble. He's connecting the two. Why? Because they're the same. Meekness and humility. Okay, let's look at this word meekness in the New Testament. We've got two scriptures found in the book of James. James, the first one is James chapter 1, verse 21. James 1:21. What we're trying to do here is to establish that meekness is humility. James 1 verse 21. Have we got it? Okay, let's read. James 1:21. Somebody?
Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul.
Yeah, I love this scripture.
1:21.
Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, receive with humility the implanted word which is able to save your souls. James is telling us that we are to submit ourselves to the word of God. We're to receive it. This word which will be planted in us, obviously then with the purpose of putting it into practice, because he goes on in the next verse, I believe it is, and says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So you receive it with humility, and you put it into practice. We're not talking about being poor or being afflicted. We're not talking about weak. We're talking about humility. Amen. Receive that word. Be humble. Submit yourself to it and then do it. Verse 22. Okay, the next scripture is just in chapter 3. James chapter 3.
James
Then after this, we've got one more after this. And then we'll finish. James chapter 3, verse 13. Okay. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise? We're talking about wisdom here. Who is wise and understanding among you? He said, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Again, we're talking about humility. Submitting yourself to the wisdom of God. The word of God. And in this verse we see James is connecting again humility and wisdom. Meekness and wisdom. So he's not talking about being weak. He's not talking about affliction. He's not talking about being poor. He's talking about being humble. So who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in, I could say, the humility of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. Now, I've got one more scripture and then we're going to finish. And we're back into the Old Testament. We're going to finish in the Psalms. Finish in the Psalms. And we're going to go to Psalm 25. This is a good scripture. This is a good one. Psalm 25, verses 9 and 10. We're connecting being humble with wisdom. Psalm 25, verses 9 and 10. This is a really good verse. Okay, some of your translations may have meek, but in the New King James it has the word humble. It says, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. If you are humble, if you are submissive to God and his word, and you're going to put it into practice, here we have a promise that the humble, he will guide in justice. He will teach his way to the humble. To such, it says, as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now, humility, or being humble, is the path to wisdom. Wisdom does not come through study. What comes through study is knowledge. Wisdom comes by being humble and submissive to what you have studied. When you submit yourself to what you have studied, in this case we're talking about the Word of God. When you submit yourself to the Word of God, then wisdom will know how to apply that in your life. So humility is the path to wisdom.
Does that mean you won't go arrogant?
Yeah. I believe so. Because You can appear to be arrogant when you say, well, this is what God says and I'm not moving from it. You say, well, make you sound so arrogant in certain things. But if you're only declaring what God has said, you're just being submissive to what he says. That's not arrogance. That might sound arrogant to other people. They might say, well, who do you think you are? You know, how can you say those sorts of things? But just repeating what God has said, just submitting yourself to what God has said, and that's being humble. Now, being humble before God is not the same as what the world considers humility. Because if you talk about humility in the world, they will want you to be like the doormat, and you're laying down and just let people walk over you. No, you submit to what God says. That might mean you have to stand up and be strong and say something and make yourself unpopular in that. But if you're submitted to what God says, God sees it as humility, and he will exalt you. Amen.
Let's give it to God. Amen. But that's the thing, what he said, it's important to be thoughtful.